Welcome to This Is Only a Test, episode 13, lucky number 13, recorded May 26, 2010. I'm Will Smith. Say hi, Norm.
Hello.
Norman and I are here in the basement of tested.com/giantbomb/comicvine/animevice/whiskeymedia/screened headquarters, as always, recording our weekly show on Wednesday. Wednesday, it's stuck. We're 2 weeks in a row. We started within 15 minutes of the scheduled start time this week, so I'm feeling really good about keeping this going. We've got the can of scary Swedish fish on the table, as is the tradition here. So, Norm, what have you been up to this week?
Building and testing things. Some things we can't talk about, some things we can talk about.
So, things you've tested, Sony Dash, spent some more time with that.
Yes, we actually posted a video yesterday.
Fancy alarm clock. Everybody's seen what we have to think. I kind of want one still. I don't think I'm willing to pay $200 for it, but I pay $100 left and right.
Really?
Yeah, happily. I still like the cuddly chumby better, though.
Something you can squish and hold. The Corinthian leather?
You know what I'd like is oh, you're stealing my Corinthian leather joke.
Yes,
I see how it
put
is.
Put it in there.
Yeah, bastard. I like the cuddliness of the Chumby, but I wish it looked like the Sony Dash. I wish I could have everything with a big screen.
You're talking about materials that do not exist yet. Rubber that with
rubber.
Yes. Rubber? Let's bring back rubber that possibly could be also squishy.
I think it's possible. I think it's like if they encased an alarm clock in Nerf and then wrapped that in leather, that might be the ultimate alarm clock. You could throw it across the room, do whatever you want.
I used to have an alarm clock that had wheels on it.
Oh, that rolled into the bed?
It rolled when you tried to press the button.
I had a Sesame Street alarm clock when I was a kid. It said, wake up. It's me, Big Bird, and it's time to get up. Open your little eyes now. Don't roll over and go back to sleep. Okay, have a great day, and don't forget to wind the clock.
Wow, all that.
Yes, that's what it said.
Ingrained in your head.
I know. I heard it every day for like 10 years. You know, you don't forget that. First off, who gives their fucking six-year-old an alarm clock? That's sick.
I know I had a Mickey Mouse alarm clock when I was like 10.
But that's like a toy. I mean, you're not supposed to. Kids shouldn't have alarm. I mean, mom should come in and be like, oh, hey, good morning. It's time to wake up, Will. No, I got the fucking Sesame. I got Big Bird screeching at me every morning. Well, okay. So tested the fancy alarm clock. We posted the video of me taking apart a DSi XL, which I thought was going to end in tragedy. And it turns out it ended in triumph.
You can see the sweat on your forehead.
I was
in the video.
Incredibly sweaty.
And then
more and more nervous by the second.
So it was real. No fakery involved. No camera tricks.
I hadn't taken one apart before. I'd never taken it apart. I took apart a GBA, an original wide GBA to add a backlight to it back in the way back old days. But I've never taken apart a DS or a DSi, so that was exciting.
What was special about it? I mean, what's inside?
Stuff and things.
What was the most difficult thing to take apart?
Well, the most difficult thing were the thousands of tiny little ribbon cables. Most too small for my fat fingers to grasp, so I had to use a pair of pliers to wedge them back into their incredibly delicate sockets. Yet, everything still works. I was quite surprised. Pleasantly surprised, even. Let's see, next up, Saturday. Saturday had a glorious time. You weren't there. I think you were helping a friend move.
I was there
move.
On Sunday.
Well, you were there on Sunday for a while with me also at 8 o'clock in the morning at Maker Faire. But we walked around and saw a lot of cool stuff. We posted some of the videos so far. We have a couple more, at least, of interviews.
More galleries.
The more interesting things. Yeah, a couple. What gallery should we look forward to?
Rocket Ship.
Rocket Ship.
Let's talk about the Rocket Ship.
The retro-futuristic gothic rocket ship?
Yes.
Yes. Did you think that was cool?
I thought it was the most impressive thing I've seen in a long time.
How so?
Despite not working at all in terms of it being a rocket ship.
They said it went three inches off the ground when they fired it up one time.
That's okay.
I think he was exaggerating.
I think
it really moved not at all.
Yeah, I think really, yes. It was the most detailed play rocket ship I've ever seen.
It's rad. It's like, five stories high or something? 70 feet high or something?
Very tall. It's massive.
Three decks inside.
Three decks. That's right. There is a command deck. Where they had a pilot seat.
Hold on. It wasn't a pilot seat. It was a gimbaled pilot seat.
Yes.
So it rotates in three dimensions, three axes, so that no matter which way
if the rocket ship was spinning, yes. you would still be.
It's basically like a B-wing,
yes,
or the thing in Last Starfighter, where the gunner seat in the Last Starfighter.
And in the seat, they had an actual cosmonaut.
Now he wouldn't tell me if that had actually gone into space or not.
I touched it.
You touched it?
He said not.
He said explicitly, "Do not touch it."
I touched it.
You took advantage of our host. That is not nice. You just told the internet, Norm.
There was like a tag on it and everything that said
it says "Do not
touch." Archive number, and then there was a little placard that told you what it was. I so touched it. I didn't lick it.
The Russians.
Anything
that would be in
space? I didn't want superpowers.
I'm glad you didn't lick it. That would have been gross.
Didn't lick it, but I did touch it.
I have to say, I'm disappointed in you for touching the thing that said "Do not touch." I think you should have
looked. It was more of a graze. It was a light graze.
Was this accidental? And then you're claiming that it was an intentional touch? Oh, I don't know. Did you touch the visor or the material?
The material.
Did it feel like it was from space?
I don't remember. I was so freaked out because together, let's point out how it works.
Yeah, it was scary.
So,
like, it was the kind of thing. If
there
you
was
slipped,
a 70-foot tall rocket in the middle of this field, or middle of like the this. It was the centerpiece of the whole fair, right on grass, and there are two ways you can get in. So on the bottom deck, there's a ladder that you can climb up.
A kind of scary ladder, in fairness.
Kind of scary. So we didn't take the ladder, but on the second deck. There was this erected.
You said erected.
Yes, I did. Staircase, right?
It was a gantry.
Yes, it was a gantry. Like they slide it up.
Yes.
To the rocket.
Yes.
And you would climb up like 30, 40 feet at least.
It was pretty high, and it was really wobbly.
And it was. And then you walk inside the rocket
on the midship
on the mid section, which was the quarters, right? I think it was like the living section.
Yeah, that was they had a bed strapped on the wall, so zero G bed.
Yes, and then to get to the top deck, you actually have to climb this red ladder.
The ladder went all three decks all the way through, mm-hmm.
and you climb up, and it was really like claustrophobic, and like you never knew if the rocket was going to fall over. But if you're not comfortable with heights, it was not a pleasant place to be.
I'm not comfortable with heights, and I had a death grip the entire time I climbed up there. I mean, it's the kind of thing that they didn't let people use the ladder on the normal tour.
That's right.
So, like, we were climbing up and down the ladder like monkeys at 8 o'clock in the morning. But it was pretty
the top
exciting.
Floor, I mean, they had computer monitors. Let me think, what else? On the living deck, right, they had a bed that was vertically placed. So you had to strap yourself in. Only one person would sleep at a time. And they had a probe deployment station, which was the coolest part of it. It was a model rocket launcher. So you could – they would open part of the rocket, the side of the rocket, and
– like a door mechanized door.
And then you would put a little orange rocket.
Like an Estes rocket.
A probe. They called it a probe.
Yes.
And then it was
an Estes rocket.
And then they could aim it and then flip a switch to launch it into the air.
Right, and there was it was plexiglass between the cockpit and the rocket launching thing, so you could see the fire and the smoke and all that. Right,
it was awesome.
He said it was super cool.
What else do they have? And then I guess you went down, you climbed down the ladder to the lower deck, which I thought super super cool. The bio lab deck.
Yeah, so this is the engine room slash science.
Yeah,
deck.
If you look on the floor, so you're standing on the bottom floor of the rocket, right? And if you look down, you could actually see the engine. It looked like something you'd see in Mass Effect or Firefly.
Well, were you there when he was telling about, like, they didn't have 220 power at Maker Faire, so they weren't mm-hmm. able to fire up the engine. But he said the engine was like that plasma, the plasma ball thing. So they have at Spencer's at the mall.
Nice.
Is Spencer's even around anymore?
Spencer's is around.
Okay, but, it's kind of like a stoner decoration for your house. But the whole floor was like this, and it had, I think, six of them rotating in counter directions against each other.
It looked
and
like an engine.
It seems like it would have been really cool if it was dark and the lights were on. So then they had all sorts of like animatronic robots that were space monsters.
So they had space monsters that collect
they
samples.
Had a Teletubby.
I mean, it was all animatronic. Like the monsters inside their little cages and glass, tanks would move, and their eyes would move, and their tentacles would move. And then they had like, ray guns for defense.
It was all kind of like retro gothic. It was like Buck Rogers, basically.
Yes.
So the ray guns were all molded aluminum, cast aluminum, and with knobbly and all that.
The greatest game of make-believe I've ever
seen. It was
fucking
rad.
I could totally imagine these guys, after they built it, just sleeping in there and playing, Rocket Man.
Yes, I can see that. I mean, so the thing that's interesting about the whole thing is you're standing in there and it wobbles every time somebody moves.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell.
Yes.
I wouldn't have wanted to be in there when there were 12 or 13 people on the whole thing. That would have been scary as hell. And probably sweaty, too.
So we do have an interview with the guys who did the rocket ship, and with lots of photos that will be up by the time you listen to the podcast.
That's optimistic, but okay. So then the other cool stuff we saw the Mondo Spider, which is a mechanical, electric-powered, eight-legged spider walker.
A giant mechanical spider, you say, Will Smith?
I'm detecting an obvious joke.
Oh, I wanted to see some running away from spider holding the hat and
if only your name was Kevin Klein. Yes. I think it's Wiki Wiki Whack.
Wiki Wiki Whack.
Yes. Well, we're in a different millennium now, so we can't make Wild Wild West jokes anymore, right? Is there a moratorium on Wild Wild West jokes?
Nope. Nope.
Oh, that makes me sad. Okay, so the spider moved, what, like 6-7 miles an hour probably? You weren't there the day that they had it
out. I didn't see the spider. You saw the spider. Yep.
It looked like you would kind of, it was a little ungainly from the seat, but it was, the neat thing about it was it's all mechanical. So the spider leg movement is like geared and cabled into the whole device, and there's no like computer control of the feet or anything like that. It's not like a space probe where it kind of thinks about where it's going to put down each feet. It just slams the feet down and that propels it forward. And it like you wouldn't want to be on the getting run over end of this thing. It looked fucking terrifying, but it's a peaceful war spider. So the interview talks more about that. Other cool stuff we saw. We met the MakerBot dudes, which was really cool. And got some pro tips from them and talked about the next version of the Plastruder, the Mark V, which is coming very soon now.
And then we also saw some combat warships.
Yes, indeed. We saw a whole fleet of combat warships. Do you want to talk a little about that? I don't think
Sure.
We did an interview with them.
We didn't get video of that. I did take photos. So these are guys who build warships, like model ships, that fire airsoft pellets, and then they pilot them around a big pool and try to destroy each other.
And so it's basically like model boats, but with guns.
With guns.
And they're made of balsa or something thin, right?
Yeah. So there's actual battle damage on these ships. And, you know, they had turrets that would
some of the ships two people would control, like one person would drive, one person would gun, and it's kind of like airsoft, right? So it's CO2 mm-hmm. or compressed air powered and fired pretty big BBs, like 4 millimeter BBs or 3 millimeter BBs,
yep.
Metal BBs that, like, if you got hit with you it would have been unpleasant. They didn't have submarines where they were at because the pool was a little too shallow. But I think
they did have actual submarines.
Yeah, they said they do submarines too, which is kind of fun, and it's mostly World War II era, so that was one step up. You know, most people have played with remote-controlled boats, but very few people have played with remote-controlled boats, with guns. Kind of the fallout of the Maker Faire. Let's see. We talked to a bunch of people who do cool CNC stuff. CNC is computer-controlled manufacturing equipment. So we saw some mills. It's kind of like the cupcake, but, bigger scale and a little higher definition and all that kind of stuff. We saw some cool plasma cutters and things like that.
I thought the coolest thing was the neon shark.
Yeah, the neon remote control sharks in the dark room, seeing those little kids scream and run away from them every time. That was funny.
Yeah, so this giant dark hangar where they had a lot of the main displays. This guy built, a frame, like a shark frame that was outlined with neon lights, and he put it on top of a remote-controlled car.
It was like a remote-controlled 4x4. It was pretty massive.
So it would bounce, and then the shark would kind of animate. So there would be like 3 or 4 frames of animation that would blink on and off. But because it was in a dark room, it looked like it was actually moving.
Well, the thing was he'd leave the thing parked for a little bit, and these little kids would walk up to it. And then he would jerk it forward when the kid got close and looked like he was ready to touch it. And the kids would run away screaming, looking mm-hmm. for their mom. It was funny every time. No actual children were hurt by the land shark.
So Maker Faire, lots of fun. It was in San Mateo, but I think they do one in Detroit. And
they do them all over, actually. Yeah. If you go to MakerFaire.com, the interesting thing to me is that it's not just about showing off the cool stuff that other people have made, but everybody there was really, really incredibly helpful and really good about like helping people learn how to do these kind of things themselves. So, I talk to people who do welding lessons and, CNC lessons and 3D modeling lessons and all that kind of stuff. And it's a very kind of inclusive community and something I really thought was pretty awesome. So we'll definitely be going back next year and, visiting more Maker Faires as the opportunity allows. So I guess we should talk about this week's news. We still don't have a news anthem. Hint. Hint. Big news. We didn't talk about Froyo last week because we recorded on Wednesday and Froyo was talked about on Thursday. But what's going on? What's the Froyo is, of course,
Android 2.2?
Frozen yogurt, our favorite non-churro frozen treat. Oh, you're talking about Android. I thought we were talking about frozen yogurt.
Froyo is really your favorite non-churro dessert?
No, I froze.
It's like my fourth favorite.
Frozen yogurt is pretty low on my list, actually. I like frozen Greek yogurt with berries. That's kind of nice. Like, it's all a little tangy. Like a pink berry on occasion. How do you feel about pink berry?
Meh.
Yeah. Okay.
Meh.
So, cupcake, Froyo, for cupcake, what was it? Cupcake, donut, eclair, Froyo.
Yes.
What's
ginger
the next one going to be?
Next.
Ginger red. Okay.
Gingerbread.
Gingerbread. What the hell is a ginger red? So what's the scoop on Froyo? Yeah, coming soon.
No, it's actually you can get it right now. I think you can hack an update on your Nexus One. So it's been rolling out to some handsets. Flash 10.1, it works.
Ooh,
we did a story late last week about performance. Obviously, if you have Flash enabled, then your site's going to load a little slower. Even
yes.
If you don't play the videos.
And the battery's going to run down faster, mm-hmm. and Steve Jobs is going to weep.
There's also a bunch of UI tweaks, a better JIT compiler.
Yeah, it's significantly faster is my understanding. Battery performance is a little bit better. One of the things important to talk about with Froyo is it's out for Nexus now for if you don't mind doing a little hacking or if you have a review unit phone. What we don't have any information on is when it's going to come to the other phones like the Incredible and the Droid. I would expect...
That depends on HTC.
Well, I would expect that the Droid, the Motorola Droid, not the Droid Incredible, will be sooner rather than later because it's a stock Android install. I think the HTC Sense stuff, like on the Incredible and some of the other HTC phones, probably going to take a little bit longer to port over, don't you think?
Yes.
Seems like Q4 is what we're hearing from the chat room. Captain Spaulding saves the day. He says Q4 is when they will see Froyo on Incredible. Next topic, Google TV. We talked about it a little bit last week, I think. You feeling more excited about it now?
I'm just interested. I don't know if I want to pay more. There's an interesting test here of whether you can live without paying for.
You know,
full
Mike
cable.
Is trying that now upstairs.
Yes.
He's off the cable teat.
But it doesn't make sense to do it now until, you know, service like Google TV, until we get more IPTV on in your home theater. Like, depends what you watch, right?
Yeah, if you watch sports, you got problems. Unless you watch MLB or Major League Baseball or whatever you want to watch is on ESPN 360. Other than people that are serviced by those two outlets, you're kind of boned. Everything else seems like it's available these days, though. I mean, you get stuff, sometimes you get stuff a day late, which is okay by me because I watch everything on PBR and it's always a day late.
DVR, not PBR? Watch everything on PVR?
Personal video recorder.
Oh. I thought you were talking about beer.
No, that's PBR. No, I do watch everything on PBR. I wish I had a beer right now. Yeah, I'm not that excited about it. I don't know. I'm not feeling it yet. Maybe we'll see when we get a little closer and get some actual product demos.
You saw the Logitech set-top box. It didn't look that big. And I guess the way it works is you plug that between your TV and your cable box.
Yes.
And that will control your cable box.
TiVo, basically.
It works like a TiVo, but it won't replace a TiVo because I don't think there's actually any DVR functionality.
No, there's not.
It. So now you're just going to have a whole string of...
I don't think you'll be able to use
devices.
It with TiVo, if I had to guess. Oh. I would say probably that won't work very well.
That's going to hurt. That's going to hurt it. People love their TiVo. I know people can't live without TiVo.
That's true. If you take TiVo from my house, my wife will be very upset. I don't know. I just don't see that it's a whole lot of... I don't really see the need for it right now, to be honest. I don't see what... I mean, I don't feel like... I feel like the people who don't have a DVR, like a good DVR, not the one that's provided by the cable company... Probably don't care about the services that Google TV is going to offer.
Well, how do you watch TV from the internet on your TV?
I don't. I just watch stuff on the laptop.
But the whole point of this is that they're convinced that the TV.
Well, I stream Netflix to Xbox from Xbox or from TiVo on occasion. I occasionally will download something from Apple TV,
but
from iTunes on
Xbox,
Apple TV.
Netflix is still going to be like several months after the fact. That's not.
I can watch Netflix on so much shit now that it doesn't, like, adding more devices that work with Netflix adds no value to me.
So for anything current, anything that you want to watch immediately, like, you know, within a week of it coming out, you'll watch it on your laptop.
No, I usually watch it on the TiVo.
Oh, because you're paying for cable.
I'm paying for cable. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't see the benefit of paying for cable. If I could access Hulu and CBS.com and ABC through a box without paying for TV, I might consider it.
That's what this is the promise.
No, I know that's what the promise is, but the thing that holds me back is football in the fall. I mean, if I can't watch football, I'm going to have to go to bars
ESPN
a lot.
ESPN 360.
Well, ESPN 360 might be the out. I got to look at it. And when they start announcing fall schedules, then we'll see. Maybe that's the way.
Okay.
What would you say is the biggest GPU that you can fit into a laptop? Thermally. Power
into a laptop?
Consumption, yes.
Might it be the
25, 30 watts, perhaps?
50 watts?
No. Keep going up. Higher.
That's a lot of power.
That is a lot of power.
We're talking about laptop, mobile GPUs.
I'm talking about something that you can conceivably put in a bag and carry with you.
Mm. 70 watts.
Oh, keep going. Still higher.
80 watts.
And twirling.
Price is wrong.
Price, you're still low.
98 watts.
You're still low. Come on, Norm, pull it together.
100 watts.
That is it. 100
wow.
watts. NVIDIA is putting a 100-watt Fermi part in mobile PCs. I assume we're not looking at thin and lights here. We're looking at big, giant laptops.
Workstation
What's the story here? Do you know?
The 480M Fermi.
Yes.
I'm not sure when it comes out. I think I'm not sure if manufacturers have announced laptops with this in it, but would not be surprised. It's actually good timing for NVIDIA because CULV i3, i5, i7s were also just announced.
So we're going to put super low-powered CPUs and ginormous GPUs.
Why not?
Well, I mean, do you really think people need that kind of GPU to play games on the road?
Some people.
I don't know. I mean, what are you going to use this for? Is this a CUDA machine, you think?
I don't think it's a CUDA machine. I think CUDA on laptop is stupid.
Well, I mean, sometimes you're in the field and you need to do some quick video compression.
No. Video compression on laptop, also stupid.
Well, but what if you're doing like a live stream from the field?
What
if you want to do Ustream over the internet from far away with EVDO?
It's for gaming. So
it's for
DX11.
Wow.
DirectX 11 on a laptop. And, you know, there is still a really big market for laptops with lots of graphics power. People who want to play, you know, who just use laptops only.
Yes.
Right? 100 watts, that's going to be really, really hot.
Do you think they're just going to put a box fan? Like, rest it, you set it on a box fan and it just blows?
I mean, I think this is a case where I would be in favor of getting an external video card for a laptop.
Well, then you have something dangling off the back
and
extra power.
Here's the thing. I don't want. This is brought up last week when we had a post about it, but external video card for laptop makes sense if you want to keep that at home and you're only going to play games at home and you only have one laptop and you still want to bring it to work, you know, unplug it when you take it to work, plug it back in when you go home, and you can have best of both worlds.
You know, the one thing that we aren't thinking about is like the overseas deployed soldiers.
That's true.
I mean, those guys go to Iraq or Afghanistan or something. They want to get some games going. I mean, I can see taking a big 17-pound laptop over there.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so giant, good gaming graphics in mobile just around the corner. Is that out yet, or that's coming soon?
Coming soon.
Coming soon.
You know, it's MXM. That's mobile video cards.
So it could go in the Firebird?
It could technically go in Firebird. And
how many Firebirds do you think they sold, like 8?
I'm going to say, realistically, I'm going to say under 1,000.
Hmm.
I could be completely wrong. They could have sold, you know, 50,000. I don't think it's been success at all. The Firebird, if you don't know what we're talking about, was HP's second Voodoo DNA desktop.
Yes.
The first one was the Blackbird.
I don't know how the DNA got in there, but they don't talk about
and
it.
The Firebird was basically laptop components in water cooled and in a kind of like a desktop. Mac, like a net top.
It was
almost.
Supposed to be like an iMac, but without the screen.
Right.
And with good gaming graphics.
But they
were a little bit old.
Good
by
gaming
the time
graphics
they came
relative
out with
it. To a net top and relative to the iMac, but still laptop components.
Okay. Speaking of graphics, Intel killed Larrabee this week. Are we sad, excited? Do we care at all?
I was kind of sad.
Larrabee was Intel's x86-based discrete GPU. It was Intel's re-entry into the world of discrete graphics
and
again.
And they've been building this up for years, right? And there was a big... I mean, it was their attack on NVIDIA because Intel and NVIDIA have issues.
Well, because it was both a graphics play and a GPU compute play, because it was essentially a whole shitload of x86 cores in a graphics card.
Yes.
Little tiny gimpy
x86
And
the big
cores.
Thing they were going to be able to do was, you know, some decent ray tracing. We did see Larrabee hardware running at IDF last year.
Very, very slowly.
It was running the
Quake
ray trace Quake Wars.
Yeah.
Low frame rate, projected on a big screen. I think the resolution was like 1680 by 1050. But the announcement now is that Intel is putting their discrete GPU development on a hiatus. They didn't say that they're never going to do it. But for the short term, no video cards from Intel. And all the technology that they researched with Larrabee will now probably go into making GMA better, integrated graphics better.
Well, what they said that I thought was interesting is that they're going to focus on graphics that matter. So the things that people use. And the thing that they listed was high-def video. So
playback.
The only thing they're going to focus on is high-def video playback. So that means OpenCL, direct compute, and gaming.
Yes. I mean, it makes sense from Intel's perspective because they really dominate the integrated market right now. But it's also well known if you are any kind of gamer, any kind of power user, that integrated graphics suck.
Yes,
and,
they do.
And NVIDIA has had some success with Ion, and just like 9400M and you know, stuff in like the MacBooks and even Broadcom chips, right, for HD playback. But GMA has been no good for. I mean, it will work, but you're not going to get really, really good high def playback. So that's
hold on. No, right now the GMA stuff is okay for high def playback.
It's okay, but
it doesn't drop. I mean,
there's
no frame
drop. Multi-monitor, you're not going to do.
Oh no, that's true.
Right, you're not going to be able. I mean, even like the bare minimum, World of Warcraft.
It's not ideal.
It's not very good.
No, and I would think post Cataclysm, when they redo the old World of Warcraft, probably GMA isn't going to hack it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so no GPU compute. Larrabee's gone. Maybe not dead, but at least on hiatus. Also, Lost ended this week.
Let's talk about Lost for half an hour.
I've never watched Lost.
You don't have to do that.
No, I could...
Go to screen.com.
Can I talk about X-Files and you talk about Lost and we'll act like we're talking about the same thing? Because they're the same fucking show. Smoke Monster, Hatch, Numbers, Cigarette Smoking Man, Hot Redhead. It's the same TV show. She wasn't really that hot. So did you hear that Microsoft had Robbie Bach and Jay Allard killed?
Do they have them killed or disappeared?
I think they just disappeared. I think they're no longer Microsoft. Well, Jay Allard is leaving to pursue other interests, including extreme sports and mountaineering, with a 5% focus on Microsoft.
Wow.
While Robbie Bach is taking
a
retirement.
That's a lot of focus on mountaineering. Extreme. So if you don't know who we're talking about, Jay Allard was one of the lower VPs at Microsoft. He was... in charge of development of Xbox, Zune. He led development on Courier, which was canned.
Yes.
And this is actually kind of...
I mean, he's made good products.
He definitely, for sure.
Responsible
and
for some of Microsoft's
like
biggest successes. Yeah.
Of Xbox for a long time before he kind of quietly disappeared and worked on more research projects. He was the guy who thought outside the box.
Yes.
Who was known as the guy who thought outside the box. At least that's...
He brought the internet to Microsoft.
Well...
I mean, really. That's the reputation that Jay Allard has. Robbie Bach.
Robbie Bach was the business guy. So he was the vice president in charge of their entertainment devices.
Well, he used to be in charge of Microsoft Game Studios,
and
later
Office.
Xbox, yep. Before that Office, all sorts of stuff over the last 20 years.
And he was the new face of Xbox. Every time, you know, at E3, GDC, or whatever, any keynote, CES, he would be brought in to talk about Natal, Xbox, Zune. And so they both, this week, same day, announcement. Right?
Yes.
Both departing Microsoft. Robbie Bach is retiring.
That's 46 or 48 or something?
48 years old.
48 years old. I wish I could retire when I was 48.
And
I'm on my way.
Speculation is that he was his departure
had something to do with the HP.
Timed coincidentally with HP buying Palm. HP being Microsoft's biggest customer.
Yes.
For OSs.
Biggest partner.
Biggest partner.
Yes.
And remember, HP Slate ran Windows 7 at CES, and that is no longer the case.
Yeah, it was immediately killed when HP announced the WebOS Palm acquisition. So, you know, it's interesting. I mean, if you think back on it, Microsoft has lost a lot of the kind of old school, early Windows, early Office talent that's responsible for when you know from Allard and Ed Fries and all those guys on. It's the old school ranks are thin.
Ed Fries wants to do fingerprints.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe Bach will do something similar.
And Jim Alchin, and I mean lots of folks leaving. So anyway, I mean, does this mean anything?
I don't think it really means anything. They're both staying on. I mean, it's not like they're gone now.
Right.
They're both helping with the transition. And the timing is kind of weird because E3 is coming around the corner, and that's really big for that division of Microsoft.
But I think they have to do the timing now if they're not going to have Robbie on stage at E3 or Jay Allard on stage at E3.
Right.
So, I mean, I think we'll be introduced to the new owners of those business units at E3 probably, would be my guess.
And it's all being the big push for Microsoft this year. Pricing of which was...
You mean Xbox 760, 720? That's what Natal. I mean. Natal is the next generation of Xbox.
It's the... how
the
did
next
Robbie
evolution?
It is the midlife bump. Midlife reinvention.
So it's the 32X for the 360?
Yes. $150 is what they say.
Interesting. I'd pay $150 to make waggle motions in front of the TV. I'm excited about that.
I don't know about that. That's buying a whole other... It's like buying another console.
Yeah, I know you're down on waggle gaming, but I think this all looks interesting if it works. Yeah, I mean, I think the other question, the question we're seeing from the chat room was the Zune Allard's undoing. I mean, I kind of look at Zune and think that while it hasn't probably sold very well, I think it's not sold well not because it's not a good product, but because the time of the standalone MP3/media player is probably done. I mean, what do you think, Norm?
I don't think the time of the standalone MP3 player is done.
Really?
I don't think so. I think if you think that the alternative is phone as the MP3 player, then you just look to Android, and how many people do you see on their Android phones?
Let me rephrase. Music? I think the day of the standalone high-end premium MP3/media player is done.
You're saying the iPod Touch is done?
I think that the iPod Touch is the exception rather than the rule.
iPod Touch is definitely the exception. I think... It was the market. It's the time of there being a dozen competing products in that space is done.
Yeah, if this was the video card wars of the late 90s, let's see, we've seen Ticket to Ride. Who were those people? You know, all the S3s and the Renditions and the 3DFXs and all those guys dying off one by one.
Well, it's because when you buy into one device, you're not just buying the one device, right? You're buying into an ecosystem.
Yeah.
And so it's aside from the cost, it's a much heavier investment planning for the future. So at this point, with Apple dominating so much just in the app space, it makes no sense to buy a Creative Zen. I mean, unless you just want music. And if you just want music, then you're going to get a cheaper device.
In fairness, when you buy an iPod Touch, you can either look at it as buying an iPhone without a phone, or you're buying a pocket computer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not necessarily – I don't look at that necessarily as a media player. Even though it is called an iPod Touch.
And the Zune apps were just underwhelming.
Speaking of iPod and iPhone and iPod Touches and all sorts of interesting things on the Apple front, in the last 7 days, Apple has announced that Steve Jobs will be headlining a keynote at WWDC in a couple of weeks. So you think they're going to talk about like next-gen iPod Nano there? Or
Nope.
iMac,
that makes
maybe.
No sense. Nope.
Mac Mini.
Nope.
Mac
surprises.
Pro.
There will be surprises.
Steve Jobs says
you won't be disappointed. His words. You will not be disappointed.
So you don't think that Jason Chen and the crew at Gizmodo have ruined all the surprises that they have for the WWDC keynote?
You know, I think even if the surprises are ruined, this being the first time that happened, more people will tune in and follow the keynote. Just to see what the reaction is.
Well, we'll be talking about
bounced back.
You think it's rolled over?
It's rolled over to
the odometer's back to zero.
To now, people are even though there might not be surprises in the hardware, the idea that there could be that there's something even more surprising, or that they just want to see what the reaction is and how Apple approaches, you know.
If my capacity for hype is a bucket, you think that the leak emptied that bucket and filled it again, ready to be refilled with hype?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all we're going to talk about Apple this week. Wait, hold on. One more little bit of Apple news. Chrome for Linux and Mac, no longer beta.
No longer beta. Automatically updates. If you had it installed, you're now in full Chrome.
Yes, and that's one of the things I really like about Chrome, actually, is that the updates for the extensions, everything just kind of happens automatically. You don't have to ever fool with it. You never see that window that says, hey, we've updated Firefox again for the third time this month.
What happens when they automatically update with the malware?
I'm cool with that.
Okay.
As long as Google brought it. I mean, I trust Google.
Mm.
They're not going to automatically update with malware. That's crazy.
They automatically incorporate useless features like Buzz.
Well, then we'll fucking storm Mountain View and pitchforks and torches and burn the place to the ground.
All right.
Burn it to the ground.
I mean, there's something I said about sticking to old versions. I mean, everyone loved the AIM client until they hit 5.0.
Dude, I haven't used the AIM client ever.
Well,
I've been using Trillian for a long, long time.
10 years ago?
I didn't use AIM 10 years ago.
Oh.
I started with AIM in 2001.
Wow.
I have no numbers in my AIM name.
Wow.
Yeah. I used ICQ, man. I was hardcore. I was 112.9675. 9645. 112.96.
You had a low number.
Yeah. I had a less than 1 million number. Wow. I know. Old school. That's what's going on with Chrome. It's out of beta. Try it out. If you use it, Mac, Linux people, it's new. It's good. You'll like it. It syncs bookmarks. Last thing is the Dell Streak has been announced in the UK as an O2 phone. People are calling it a tablet. I mean, I don't really think it's a
Dell
tablet.
Dell calls it a tablet.
Well, Dell's crazy. I mean, do you think it's like a 5-inch screen?
Yeah, it's like the Evo and the new the just leaked Motorola Shadow 4.3-inch screen.
Yes, yes.
This is only 0.7 inches more.
Yes.
Running Android also.
Yes.
But still, they call it a
tablet. I mean, just to be clear, the Streak is about this. Hold up your iPhone, Norm. It's about half the size of an iPad. It's about half the size of the iPad. Are you going to use that to make calls on ever?
If you're a really big person or a really small
it's
person.
It's Andre the Giant's phone.
Novelty value.
That's true.
I'm really small and using the Dell Streak.
Right. We need to get you a giant oversized chair so you can use that and act like it's a Streak. We'll be testing it as soon as we can get them. It's in the UK only right now. I think there's an availability in the US announced later this year. And it seems to be a carrier deal only, not something you can just go and buy because of the phone
it's
nature
a phone.
Of the device.
I don't know. I mean, it's not their only quote-unquote tablet. There's also the Looking Glass, which they haven't announced yet. But this is the first one they wanted to get out.
You know what? I could see buying into that size device if there was something, if like I could wear a wristwatch style thing that would let me dial. Like if I could dial from here and answer phones, like if I had a...
You mean like a wirelessly tethered remote?
If I had a wireless remote screen for the giant phone in my man purse.
It is really made for man purses.
It is.
And purses in general.
Right. It's a lady phone, but it's too big.
But I guess it's like the phone counterpart to the Sony Vaio P, which is also a lady purse.
That's true.
Computing device.
That is true. I mean, really, if you had like a little screen that you could see, oh, hey, it's a Norm calling, and then you drop the Bluetooth in if you wanted to be cool or you know, pull up your wired headset.
But then if you wanted to surf the internet, you also could.
You can whip it out.
Whip it out and surf the internet.
Whip it out. Okay, so that does it for news this week. Let's do a little bit that I like to call Reader Interaction Theater. I'm opening my email, navigating to the podcast folder. If you would like to interact with us on This Is Only a Test, you can email us at podcast@tested.com. Or, that's pretty much the only way to interact with us right now. So here is the first question from DJ Hicks. DJ Hicks asks, when the new MacBook Pros were released, I almost ordered the 15-inch Core i7 with high-res screen. With this high-res screen and CPU, the notebook came with a 1 GB GT330M. I didn't get it because it was overpriced. I checked back now, and the 1 GB GT330M is no longer an option. Did Apple gimp the MacBook Pro, hoping no one would notice? Also, does Apple refresh its parts midway through the life cycle? Like, could I wait till the fall and get a MacBook Pro with a better GPU? Please help. This is a big investment. Yes, it is a big investment, DJ. What do you say, Norm?
I think unlikely for the upgrading midway through its life cycle. If they're going to do an upgrade, it's going to be a pretty big overhaul with the CPU.
Usually they do the whole line.
Yes, yeah. They won't just say GPU gets bumped. Price drop, maybe. In the fall, winter, there's usually a one-day Apple sale near the holidays.
Yes.
Black Friday.
There's also student sales around back to school time.
Just started right now. If you buy a MacBook, I think there's like an 8-gig iPod Touch that you can also get with it that you can sell, make 100, 200 bucks back, maybe 100 bucks off eBay.
Mitch asks, hey, Will and Norm, I have a couple of mobile devices that I need to keep charged regularly. I'm also a little low on desk space. Do you guys know of any compact, cable-free ways to keep these devices charged? I watched the quick look of the PowerMat 2X, and the $80 price tag is a bit too steep for me, especially since it only charges two devices at once. Any help would be appreciated, Mitch. Here's a couple of there's no wire-free ways to charge stuff that are any good, as the PowerMat has taught us.
Unless
correct?
It's built into
the
like the Palm Pre.
Yeah, the touchstone, I think, is what the yes. Capstone, sink stone, something stone.
Power stone,
electricity stone. It's good. So the thing that I use at home in my kitchen, where my wife and my electronics all seems to reside and charge, is called the Blue Lounge Sanctuary. It's a little bit expensive, but what it does is it has a kind of velvet base bottom of this box, and you lift up the box and there's a bunch of universal chargers under there and some USB ports. So you can charge pretty much anything. And what you can do is route the cables so that everything lays out nicely inside the box and it doesn't make a huge mess. It's $129. I forgot it was that expensive. So that's a little bit spendy. You can also build your own. Norm, you've done that in the past. How did that work out for you?
Yeah, you build either a shoebox will work, but that's not very pretty. I got a stationary box, also works. And you put a power strip in there, cut holes, and
use your existing power bricks.
Use your existing power bricks, put them in the box, and then craft little frames around the holes, and you can charge plenty of phones, MP3 players, cameras, whatever.
Yes, yes.
But the only thing is, you got to make sure. It's a good power supply, and your cabling is still tied up because
it can quickly get rat's nesty
really
in there.
Get very busy, and also it does get a little warm,
fiery even.
Yeah. Don't light stuff on fire.
Don't put a laptop brick in there; that would be bad. The other thing that I've used before is a charge pod. It's a little basically universal charger. It's a little puck shaped thing, and it has like 5 points I think that come off, and you can plug iPods and all this stuff in. But it doesn't charge the iPad, so.
No.
Not enough power for that. Chris from York, Pennsylvania, the first capital of the United States, says, the show is great, yada, yada, yada. That's great. Thank you for your praise, by the way. We appreciate it. I recently purchased an Asus G73 notebook, Core i7 Proc, 6 gigabytes of RAM, 500 gigabyte hard drive, ATI 5870 mobile. It has a feature called ExpressGate, a sort of stripped-down OS with a media player, Skype client, web browser, etc. Where does it live? Is it embedded on a partition? What? How does it work? That is a great answer. Great question. It's actually a Linux-based kernel. It usually lives on a piece of flash memory soldered onto the motherboard. I'm hearing horrible feedback from somewhere. Is that you, Norm?
I don't think so. I have no cell phones.
Okay. And basically, it runs a little version of embedded Linux that boots up faster than Windows. And it's just generally a handy thing. There are some tools out that I've seen. I don't know about for this particular laptop. But I have seen some tools that allow you to go in and modify that and install different versions of Linux and all that stuff. Basically, you need to search for the model of notebook or motherboard that you're talking about and see if somebody has released a tool to let you patch that.
Speaking of the Asus G73, we just got one in for review.
That's that mighty notebook?
It is mighty indeed. I think it has a 17-inch screen, widescreen.
Yes.
It is massive.
It looks like you're going to have to, rather than put it in a bag, you could just strap it to your back.
Yes.
Like a sword. It's huge.
Or to your chest?
Yes.
To your waist?
Yes. I don't think you
it's
could
a
hold
hat.
It. I think you would tip if you put it on your waist. Mm. Chris's second question. We don't usually do second questions. This is a good question too. Chris says, I also love live music, and there's a ton of it available on YouTube. Some of it's actually quite good. When I can find live tracks for sale, I buy them, but most isn't for sale anywhere that I can find. I'm not looking for a legal opinion. But what are your thoughts on the ethical concerns of using Stereo Mix and Audacity to save that audio to listen to on an MP3 player? I've never pirated anything and don't want to start now. People work hard to produce content. Yeah, they do. But if it's posted online for the world to see and copyright holder doesn't tell YouTube to take the content down, should I care? Thanks and keep up the great work. From Haas. Chris Haas. Chris, again. I don't know. I can see both sides of that one. If it's something you can't buy... I don't think it's going to hurt anybody. If you feel bad about it, send the people who made the stuff a check. Send them a note on YouTube, PayPal. Yeah, PayPal them $5.
Press their like button.
Yes, yes. I don't think there's anything. Do you think there's anything wrong with that, Norm?
I think you're right about it. If you can't buy it, then it's okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I won't say it's okay. He probably won't get pissed off.
Right.
You're probably in the clear. If you're not reselling it.
If you're not reselling or distributing it, you're never going to get caught. One thing that is interesting is a lot of bands post their live show archives and bootlegs and stuff like that on archive.org. So there are a ton of great MP3s of bands that have okayed posting of live shows there. And if you ever want to check that out, it's at archive.org. Hi, I'm Pat from New York. Hey guys, I have a question about the next Apple product. It seems that every 2 to 3 years, Apple attacks the marketplace with a new product, iPhone to iPad. What do you think will be the next big Apple product line? The next part of his question is, a few months ago, my Mac got mysteriously data wiped, so I lost all my music and apps on my iTunes account. Do you know how to get my purchased stuff back? Okay, so the first question is good. What do you think the next big Apple product line is going to be? You think it's back to the living room?
It is a game console. I think that they are going to reinvent Apple TV.
Damn,
and
that
make
was mine.
More than a hobby. They're going to look at Google and criticize Google's interface and UI.
Google TV interface.
And they are going to reinvent the Mac Mini and Apple TV for the living room.
At what price point?
$150.
$200. There we go. I was going to say Apple TV, that they're going to redo Apple TV. I think that they're going to do a wristwatch. I think that there's going to be an iWatch.
No, wait.
Wristwatch.
No watch, no
wristwatch for nerds.
Console. No set-top console for games.
Maybe they'll make a car, the iCar.
Maybe an internet
powered by
appliance.
Your own sense of self-satisfaction, like Ed Begley Jr. Yes. And to get your stuff back, iTunes. If you don't do it too often, you can actually contact customer support, and they'll re-enable all your downloads from the iTunes Music Store.
Music though, right?
Yeah, you can do if you act like you didn't know that you wouldn't be able to re-download it.
Right. You have to,
this is customer service theater.
Okay. Yes. When you call them, you never admit wrongdoing. Right.
No. You say I took it to the Apple Store and my computer was wiped or something like that, or maybe don't blame it on Apple itself, but just imply that something bad happened that was beyond your control.
Beyond your control.
Right.
And
that's important.
Yes, and also I think it kind of depends on how much music you have.
And it's also probably good not to do this over the phone, especially if you're not quick on your feet. Like an email conversation gives you plenty of time to think about your questions and answers before you have to respond.
Because once you make the wrong answer,
it's in the record
it's
forever.
In the record. They will log it, and no matter what you do, because
denied.
It's tied to your account, you will be denied.
Denied.
Your apps. Your apps are okay. You can always re-download apps.
Yes. Okay, so that does it for questions this week. As always, if you have a question or you'd like us to come clean your sidewalk, you can email us at podcast@tested.com. We'll answer those emails on the show. Every once in a while. I think pretty soon, sometime when we have a slow news week, we'll do a nothing but questions and answers podcast, because we haven't done one of those yet. So that does it for us this week for tested.com. I'm Will Smith. He's Norman Chan. Say hi, Norm.
Goodbye.
We're here every week. Do the live stream every week at about 4 o'clock on Wednesdays. Usually we realistically start at about 4:10, but you can find that by following us on Twitter at TestedCom or at Will Smith or at N Chan. We all talk about it. And as always, if you like the show, don't like the show, like us on Facebook, be our fan, write a review on iTunes. There's a couple of really great reviews in there. I especially like the one that it seems like it was a review for a sailing podcast.
We're sailors. No, we're not.
No,
we're daughters. Not. What are they called?
Boaters.
Boaters? I have boating
shoes. I wear
shoes.
Boaters. Yeah, I have those. Yeah, anyway, it doesn't matter. Thanks for listening. We will see you guys next week.
I shorten my cables by cutting them and resplicing them together.
You do not do that.
I do not do that.
That is a lie. Sing, Norm. Sing the news anthem. Sing it. Sing it now.
I'm freezing.
Okay, no news anthem. All these fucking sweets really confuse the hell out of me.
Okay. Use zip ties.